So there's an older story, which is that kind of anti-slavery comes at a sort of swing from the west to the east, and from a first to a second British Empire, which I think kind of has largely been broken down and shown to be a bit of an overgeneralisation. I think, though, that anti-slavery is kind of heralding a period in which there's going to be, partly because there are new publics, new kind of politically engaged and politically vocal constituencies in Britain, in which the kind of deliberations of British foreign policy, British power and British empire are going to include a kind of extra audience, that it's no longer sort of rival business lobbies and rival elite interests. I do think that anti-slavery sort of heralds a moment when there are a kind of new groups, new voices, organising and mobilising. And crucially, what's new about anti-slavery? What's different to the fact that people had petitioned about sugar taxes when they worked in the sugar industry, or they petitioned about putting up a new bridge in Canterbury if they were residents of Canterbury, that sort of thing. What's interestingly different, I think, about anti-slavery is it's people who don't necessarily have a direct economic interest in the issue saying that they think what the country sanctions, what the country allows, reflects on them, reflects on the status of the country, and indeed in some cases reflects on their own immortal souls. So it's kind of people sticking their nose into others' business, as it were, and it's indeed what some of the anti-abolitionists objected to when they said all these abolitionist petitions tell us what to do about the slave trade and slavery, but they don't. These are from people who don't have a direct economic interest in the issue. And that was almost seen as almost illegitimate, that they're not people who had a financial stake.